There's a sweet, sweet spirit in this place, and I know it's the Spirit of the Lord. There you go. Let's pray. And by the way, let me just mention, I'm up here because Pastor Robert is at home, and he has a respiratory infection. He didn't want to share it with all the rest of us. Amen, amen. And so he called me the other day and asked if I'd jump in for him here on Sunday morning. So we're glad to do that. Yeah, thank you. God bless you. All right, let us pray. Let's pray for Pastor Robert and all others that are suffering from these viruses and illnesses that are going around. And Lord, we know that you can drive it out, the illness that is within Pastor Robert and within so many of the different members of Amazing Grace. We ask, Lord, that you'd be a blessing and put your spirit upon his life and upon the lives of those who are sick, but especially upon us this morning as we hear your word from the Apostle Paul. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, I got to say, first of all, I got to say happy Groundhog's Day, right? Yeah, yeah. And by the way, I did see my shadow this morning. Actually, Punxsutawney Phil out in Pennsylvania saw his, so that's official. And that means six more weeks of winter, which, you know, will be welcome even in Arizona, for sure. All right. And I have to say something about this clergy shirt. You know, men can especially identify. I can never get my shirt on the right way, you know. I put it on, and the label is on the front side. And so I wear a clergy shirt because it tells me whether, you know, the front from the back, and it tells me if I'm coming or going. It reminds me of the little boy who had been at church, and the pastor said, you know, we are dust, and dust we shall return. And we got home, he looked under his bed, and he said, Mom, there's somebody under the bed, but I don't know if they're coming or going. So I know I'm coming right now and going later. But anyway, I've been busy this week killing roof rats, actually. Oh, they're ugly. But I've been having a funeral for each one. And what I do is I hold them up by the I dig a hole, I hold them up by the tail, and I say, in the name of the Father and of the Son and in the Holy Ghost. So there you go. I've been sending some roof rats up to their maker, I guess. Dear friends in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Seldom right, but always certain. That's what some of you are old enough to remember, a show that called All in the Family. And it starred a guy named Carol O'Connor. Later he was in The Heat of the Night and all these different TV shows. But Carol O'Connor was Archie Bunker. And Archie Bunker was one of those blowhards, you know. And people always said about Archie Bunker that he was seldom right, but he was always certain. I think that's an affliction everybody has nowadays, especially in our culture as it's come to be. And so I thought I'd tell you a story this morning. This is my principal story about being seldom right but always certain, okay? There was this young guy, lived over in, Paradise Valley or someplace like that, you know, Scottsdale. And he always wanted to have a fancy sports car. And he went down to one of them dealerships, you know, where they sell the fancy cars, you know. And he bought himself a new Corvette. And he decided to take it out for a ride one day. And he went down past Apache Junction, and he went up towards Tortilla Flats. Have you ever been up that road? And he was driving a little too fast for the conditions. And he was wheeling around them corners. came around a corner and there was an older woman in a big sedan bearing down on him. And just at the last second, he pulled one way and she pulled the other, and as he went by, she had her window open and she yelled, "Pig!" And the guy right away yelled back, "Sow!" And he drove, now listen, he drove around the next corner and he ran into the pigs. Now maybe she should have said, "Javelina!" But this is an example of how we can be seldom right but always certain. He heard an insult. He heard "pig," and he threw an insult back, "sow." But it really was a warning. The Acts of the Apostles is full of this kind of thing where it's kind of like two ships passing in the night. They don't exactly hear each other. And today's text is particularly clear about that. In fact, it starts out talking about Greek and Aramaic and Hebrew, and you know, if you're speaking a different language, you're not going to understand what somebody's saying. But Paul tells us about his conversion experience. Not once, not twice, but three times. Today, in this text, in the chapter 9 of Acts, and he'll tell it again before he gets done, the story of how he was going to Damascus and was blinded by the light. Old Hank Williams Sr. wrote a song about that. "I saw the light, I saw the light, no more darkness, no more night." It was in that moment that Paul's eyes were opened. He thought of the early Christians, he called them the Way, and he thought of them as an insult to his faith. But suddenly, he realized that their faith and what Jesus said to him in that vision on the road to Damascus was a kind of a warning. It was bad news that had been turned into good news. Ever happened to you? Some people can't get over telling their conversion story. You know? I preached for many years before I really, I really got it. You know, and it comes oftentimes in experiences. I remember going on a tour with my wife to the Holy Lands, and my eyes were open to the reality of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And here is the truth that Paul proclaims. And not only does he proclaim it to us through the Acts of the Apostles, but he tells us to go and do likewise. Huh? To become an apostle of Paul to our friends and our neighbors and our community and so on. You know, I went to a seminary school for 4 years, and then when they kicked me out, they said, "Maybe you better have a remedial course." So I went to one. I went to a seminary down in Richmond, Virginia. It was hot. It was like hell. It was hot and dry and full of Presbyterians. Anyway, no, it was a good place. But I had, you know, I studied with about 8 other guys, and they came from all different kinds of Christian backgrounds. And one of them, after he graduated, he went out and became an evangelist. And I got a letter from him one day, and he says, "You know, I've been traveling all over the country holding revival meetings, and I had this guy that would travel with me, and he was an example of sin, let me tell you. He would come out, and he drank too much, he smoked too much, he did all these bad things to his body. He looked terrible. He said, last week he died. Rolf, are you available to take his place? This is a reality that is revealed to us, that we are indeed sinners. And that sin has touched our life in such a way that we got to try something different. We got to start hearing the insult as a warning, the bad news as good news. Good news that Jesus Christ can lift the burden of your sin. And this is, of all places, I'm preaching to the choir, aren't I? Huh? I mean, starting with Pastor Robert that stands behind this lectern week after week, his story and many of your stories are the same. You see? I once was lost in sin, but then Jesus came in. You see? And this is what the Acts of the Apostles is interested in telling us about. The story of Peter, the story of Paul, their ministries, and the ministry of Paul particularly in these last chapters of Acts is all about his need to spread the word. Jesus appoints him, commissions him, tells him, what are you waiting for? Huh? Did you hear that? In the text, what are you waiting for? Be baptized and wash your sins away and call upon my name. Amen. You see? You go to some family gathering and there's always that blowhard in the family that's seldom right, but always certain. Don't be one of those. Don't be the Archie Bunker in your world. Be the kind of person that is willing to open your heart, to change. This is called, fancy word for it, it's called a paradigm shift. See, I'm way out of touch, but if anybody goes on those rollerblades or whatever skateboards, what do they call that when they're going one way and all of a sudden, boom, boom, they're going the other way? It's called a 180. That's what God is calling us to. He's telling us to do a 180. He's saying, you think you know, you're so smart, you know, how's that been working for you? Let's try something else. Let me tell you about my Jesus. Let me tell you about my Jesus. See? And when we start hearing about Jesus, that's when we are opened up to a new life of faith. When the Spirit of God comes into us, when we put aside all of our, all of our ideas and all of the ways that we see the world, and we let Jesus in, it transforms everything. It makes a new creation out of us. It drives out the spirits that plague us. And it brings us face to face. Now, what happened to Paul is going to happen to us. He was persecuted. Jesus was persecuted right to the cross. I remember a jail ministry meeting, service one time. It was about an hour and a half or 2 hours long, but I'll never forget what the preacher said in the middle of that sermon. And it was a long blame sermon. I couldn't preach that long if I tried. Although it's Groundhog's Day, so you may hear this one again. But the point is, the preacher said in the middle of it, he said, if you are not being opposed in your faith, you're doing it wrong. Man, that rang a bell for me. Man, I served parishes. I had plenty of opposition. And I'm sure I gave some opposition to others, you know. But I'm telling you that the earmark of real faith, the way in which we know it's true, is that you're opposed. You try to tell a friend about it, they say, don't give me that Jesus stuff. You try to tell family members, and they say, that holy, holy, holy stuff is for everybody else. That's the opposition. That's Satan whispering. Whispering. You know, C.S. Lewis wrote a book called The Screwtape Letters. It was all about how devious Satan can be. How devious Satan can be. He whispers things. They sound so attractive. It sounds so wonderful, but it's all phony. It's all phony, and we reject it. We reject it because we know Jesus. And not only do we know Jesus, we can tell others about our Jesus. You know, there was a pastor walking down the street one day, and he ran into one of his members, and he said to this member, he hadn't seen him in church in a long time, he says, you know, I haven't seen you at service, you know. He says, you have to be in the service of the Lord. And the guy said, oh, I am. It's just that I'm in the secret service. You can't be in the secret service and be a disciple of Jesus Christ. You have to be so full of it that it just brims out of you. It just overflows. It's like watching the coffee in the coffee urn in there. It just keep percolating. You got to let Jesus percolate in your life, you see. Keep on working his way up and out the top and coming out your mouth. You need Jesus.
Amen.
I need Jesus. You know, God is good all the time. Yeah, and all the time, God is good. Absolutely. And, you know, I just think it's so important for us to bear down and understand that you don't just, you know, have this kissy face kind of relationship with God and with Jesus and then not doing it. You know, you can't become a car by sleeping in your garage. And you can't become a Christian by sleeping in church. You got to get up and do something. Some of you are good at getting up and doing something, right? Telling the Lord, you know, I'm full of praise. I'm brimming over with praise for you. But make that praise speak to others, you see. You know, there was an old guy. He was standing on a street corner. He walked up to a complete stranger, and he says, you know, I'm marrying a 40-year-old younger woman next week. And the guy said, what are you telling me for? He says, telling you? He said, I'm telling everybody. I'm telling everybody. Huh? He was bragging. You know? That's like the little kid came home and said, Mom said, who's your Sunday school teacher? He said, well, it must be Jesus' grandma because she's bragging about him all the time. Bragging about Jesus, see? Bragging about Jesus. That's what Paul did. And Paul, I mean, he had a blessed life. He wanted to go all the way to Spain with the word of Jesus. He never made it. He made it to Rome, and that was as far as he got. But Paul never relented. He made sure that he knew that he was seldom right. But he was always certain about God, certain about Jesus, certain about the calling that he had. Not once, not twice, three times. Three times he tells how he was blinded and how God spoke to him through Jesus Christ and gave him his spirit and said, go, go. What are you waiting for? What are you waiting for? See? And that's what you need to ask yourself. You need to ask yourself, if I know Jesus, who do I know that doesn't know Jesus? And you need to tell them. Take the risk, you know. It's not an insult. It's a warning. It's good. It's not bad news. It's good news to hear about one who has died for our sins and set us free and filled us with a sweet, sweet spirit, huh? And it's the Spirit of the Lord that speaks for our lives, huh? There was a rich old lady. She was very religious. And somebody broke into her house one day. And she quoted some scripture to him. And the robber turned and ran out the front door right into the arms of the police. And the police said they were dumbfounded. They said, "Why did you run away?" He said, "Well, she said she had an axe and 2.38s. And the lady was standing behind him, and she said, "That's not what I said. I said, axe 2.38. Look it up. Peter said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, so that your sins may be forgiven, that you may will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." That's probably not just good advice for a burglar, a housebreaker. It's good advice for you and me. So when you're tempted, to be seldom right but always certain, just remember the Apostle Paul. Remember the persecution he faced. If you're not being opposed, you're not doing it right. And believe me, I've seen plenty of country club Christians. I see them and they just don't get it. But that doesn't mean we do. We hear a word that speaks to our heart, a word that speaks to our mind, and claims us. Huh? Claims us. And we feel it. It's just like that coffee percolator. And it just blows up all over everybody. Let me tell you about my Jesus. Amen. Yes. Amen. Amen. And I say amen. The peace of the Lord be with you always.